behind the atom. 2,000 years before, or at least 1,800 years before, man actually identified the atom as the substance of this world. And of course, Moses, 1,500 years before Jesus, took us behind the atom with the experience of Noah. And that experience, that arc of Christhood accepted as a living fact, is the secret of the mystery of knowing God aright. And so important is the experience of Noah as narrated by Moses that both Paul and Jesus himself mention it. You'll find it in Matthew in the 24th chapter in the 37th verse when Christ speaks to the disciples and says, "But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." And this is the coming of the Son of Man in you as your being accepted. For as in the days that were before the flood, and that's the flood of cosmic hypnotism, the atomic sleep, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark. Everyone on earth is resting in the atomic sleep and will continue to do so, unaware and unable to function in this world except through obsolete material law, through cause and effect, through opposites, through the diseases and disasters that occur in the atomic universe, because they are unaware of Noah entering the ark of Christhood. And so the Christ goes on to explain that two women will be in the field and one will be taken. We are being told that one will not know herself to be divine flesh, and one will. And although we may not fully realize it yet, survival in the atomic age rests upon the knowledge realized and demonstrated that I am now divine flesh. Moses, 4,000 years ago, told us how to survive the atomic age. Jesus confirmed it and demonstrated it. I have overcome the world. But I is Christ. And as you overcome the human sense of self and step into Christ, you step into I who have overcome the world of atoms. Paul was well aware of the fullness of the Christ teaching. You'll find in Hebrews, he's telling you about your divine flesh, although we didn't realize it at the time that we read it many, many times. When he said, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen," he was telling you to accept divine flesh as your flesh, Christhood as your selfhood, and that is the faith, which is the substance of things not seen. And then he goes on to tell us about many individuals who had accepted Christhood, who had accepted themselves to be divine flesh, who were not waiting for the return of Jesus. In fact, all of the ones he lists were living on earth before Jesus ever appeared. They were living in the eternal rainbow of Christ before Jesus appeared on earth. Enoch, Moses, Noah. Here's what he has to say about Noah. "By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear. That means with knowledge of God. With fear of the consequences of not acting in the knowledge of his own true selfhood. Fear means awareness of what will happen if I don't live in truth. To move with fear is to move with the conscious knowledge that by living in truth, I am under the law of God. Moses moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world. You see, instead of crucifying Christ in himself, he accepted Christ and crucified the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. And then, speaking of Abraham's faith, he says that Abraham was looking for a city which hath foundation. He was looking for truth that you can depend upon. And the only truth you can depend upon, the only city with foundation, is that you now are divine flesh. Nothing else has foundation. Now, there are quite a number of passages that are important to us at this point. And it was Paul who understood the Christ teaching without having had Jesus personally as his teacher. He didn't walk with Jesus, and yet the very importance of that is that you too, who are not walking with Jesus, need not be waiting for Jesus. For like Paul, you can know the truth of being. Like Abraham, like Moses, like Noah, like all those listed in the 11th chapter of Hebrews, who existed before Jesus Christ. And so Paul tells us, they that are Christ's, those that belong to Christ, have crucified the flesh. You can't get around that. There it is. They that are Christ's have crucified the flesh. What does that mean? It means they have crucified the belief in human flesh, and they are not transmuting human flesh into divine flesh, but rather they have crucified the belief in one type and have accepted the truth that I am now divine flesh. The only transmutation that has to take place is the changeover of your belief. Through the practicing of the presence of I am the Christ. And so before I do forget it, I would like to give you several meditations to practice between now and, well, Catalina, if you come to Catalina, or the next tape, which will probably be sent to those who don't come to Catalina. They'll be available, you see, as they were last year at the previous seminar. That is so we can maintain the continuity of consciousness with each student who we work with now. And this exercise I'd like you to consider is every night when you go to bed, and every morning when you get up. I don't care in what sequence you use the phrases, but the first exercise, the first meditation, has to be identity. And so, tonight, when you go to sleep, just before you finally doze off, even if you lie there an hour or a half hour, you can be dwelling on these. It's a beautiful time to close your eyes and just rest in the truth of being. Your meditation before you go to sleep is, I, Christ, infinite. I, Christ, infinite. to contemplate the meaning of I Christ infinite, that I being Christ infinite am divine flesh which has no separation from God, for it is the Father's flesh. It is everywhere, and beside I Christ divine flesh there is no other flesh. There is no human on this earth. Now that's before you go to sleep. Turn yourself over to I Christ with the knowledge that all of the qualities of Christ are working and are present everywhere doing their job. Christ is all-powerful, all-knowing, all-presence, and these three omnis are working as the substance of your divine flesh now. I, Christ, infinite. I cannot reject the qualities of Christ if I am accepting Christ. And so I go to sleep with the knowledge that I, infinite Christ, am the power functioning on this earth in the sky, in the waters. I Christ is the perfect and only power functioning, and no appearance makes any difference. All is invisible divine flesh functioning. I Christ am functioning everywhere. I, Christ, am the only mind, for I go to the Father. One mind functioning everywhere. And with this, go to sleep. Dwell with it as long as you want, but these are your last thoughts before the silence of sleep. And in the morning when you awaken, do it again. Before you go to sleep and when you awaken, I Christ, infinite, and include the three major attributes of Christ. I Christ, the all power. I Christ, the only mind. I Christ, the only presence. Whatever denies this, denies the truth of being. When you go to sleep and when you wake up, and you'll notice the difference in your days. And there is another meditation before going to sleep and another upon awakening, which you can practice on alternate days, or practice the first one for the first few days and then the second for the next few days. Do it any way you want, but each night do one of these or the other. And the second is, before going to sleep, accept one divine being is all there is. There is no other being. One divine being is. Go to sleep with that. Explore it in your contemplation if you wish. One divine being is. And let that be the prelude to your slumber. I would say that you should be with that for, well, I would be with it for maybe 15 minutes. One divine being is. I want to understand it. I want to get it into the marrow of my consciousness. I don't want to just say it. And you rest with it. You take it apart. You open it up. You look inside it. Finally, when you have a feeling of, oh, I understand, there is only one divine being, the world is perfectly at peace in the invisible Christ now. And when you have a realization of it, you're ready to sleep. And when you wake up, there's something different to do. You're going to add something to the meditation that you put into use before you went to sleep. One divine being is what you wake up to. You wake up to that. But now you add something to it. And because one divine being is, error is not. You went to sleep with one divine being is, you wake up to one divine being is, you dwell with that a while, and then you add to this thought, therefore error is not. There's no error in divine being, and only one divine being is, and therefore error is not. Now these are the two types of meditations I'd like to suggest for this month until the middle of April, April 11th. And please do them faithfully for your own benefit. I'm going to repeat a few more phrases to assure you that the knowledge that man is divine flesh, invisible, not human flesh that we seem to see, is a biblical statement. They that are the Christ's have crucified the flesh. And then in Romans 13:14, put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh. Now, how do you put on the Lord Jesus Christ? By saying, I believe in Jesus Christ? Then there'd be no need for the second phrase, and make no provision for the flesh, which means you are not human flesh. That's exactly what it means. And put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ means you are divine flesh now. Now you may think this is just words in Scripture, but I say to you that it's a command. I say it must be fulfilled. I say that unless you do this, you are the woman in the field or the man in the field who is taken away. But if you do this, you are the one who rises, who ascends in consciousness, and you find that the risen Christ in you is a today fact, a reality. All flesh is not the same flesh. There are also celestial bodies. Enter into the holiest through his flesh, divine flesh. And if you recall, in that beautiful prayer of Jesus Christ before crucifixion, you'll find it in John 17:21. And I pray that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee. That they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. There's only one way we're all going to realize that we are one in God, and that is to know that we are now divine flesh. You can never become divine flesh. You can never become one with God, because until you accept that you are divine flesh, you are always pushing God away. I hope those meditations are clear. I hope the knowledge that you are divine flesh is clear. With that in mind, I'd like to review the crucifixion, perhaps from another viewpoint, and see if we have extracted from it the full meanings that were given to us by the Christ. We were told, be reborn of the Spirit, but we must remember too that Christ is a teacher and shows us how to be reborn of the Spirit. And so we find that the appearance man dies. Jesus dies. Now what about you, the appearance man of human flesh? As it dies in your consciousness, the appearance man dies. We drop the conscious belief that I can be human flesh because I am Christ and therefore divine flesh. Christ now. Christ is risen. Christ is my eternal self. Therefore, I am not human flesh, not even temporarily. That is the false horizon of the mind. And then, as the appearance man dies, what happens? Christ is revealed as alive, and is the real identity of that appearance man. And that alive Christ returns and says, I am the life. And this is a story that as you drop the human sense of flesh, as the appearance man dies in your consciousness, Christ appears to declare, I am the living self here and now. I have always been here, but you couldn't see me because you thought you were human flesh. And then Christ demonstrates the qualities of the Christ man. And all the qualities demonstrated by Christ about the Christ man are your present qualities, which through the false horizons of the human mind you do not see in the fullness, in the full seventh rainbow, although those qualities are here now in the fullness and can and must be expressed in the fullness through faith that they are here, through faith that you are the Christ, and therefore you must reject the opposites of those qualities. Here now are the qualities of Christ. All the qualities of Christ, the full spectrum of the rainbow. The power of perfection. Nothing can change it. The power of beauty, the power of truth, the power of eternal life, the power of harmony. And whatever you see that is not perfection, truth, harmony, is a false horizon of the mind making something appear to you that is not there. And Christ will reject that which is not there. And if you accept that which is not there, you are saying you are not divine Christ. For whatever Christ has demonstrated in the Bible, I am now. Not only must all human sense die, all human concepts must die, and one of those concepts is human selfhood as a physical form. It just isn't here. Human selfhood must be hung on the tree of your mind. It must be crucified. It must be overcome, because there cannot be two. There can only be one self. You cannot be the visible human and the invisible Christ. The veil of the mind, which looks at the Christ but sees the human, gives us the false horizon of a self that isn't here. The false self must go. This is a human concept. in space and in time, which are also concepts. And we know now that the human self is not God created. It is not divine. But there is a divine self present. That is the Noah experience. That is the Moses experience. That is the Paul experience. That is the Jesus Christ experience. That is the Joel Goldsmith experience. There is a divine self present. And it only comes forth as you drop the human sense of self. Divine self cannot come forth into a human self. So the human self must go. All human selves, not only your own, all human selves must go out of your consciousness. All human concepts must go out of your consciousness. For unless human concepts go, the human sense of self will remain. You have accepted with words that only Christ is here. Now you must accept that no human self is here. Only God being is here. Only Christ is here. Yes, you must take a long look at yourself, a challenging look. And you must look for a city with foundation. God is present. Perfection is present. Can God be present if God is all and something else be present too? If God is present, can anything beside perfection be present? If God is present, is there any other life than God life? If God life is the only life, is there any other life than eternal life? Is not your temporary life then a false concept, which disappears when you accept, I am divine flesh, the Christ itself? Some time ago, I had a necessity to write a letter to a middle-aged man who has been studying the infinite way by himself. And he said about 3 to 5 years, I believe, but there were so many indications that he had not really caught the spirit. In fact, there was so much self-will and self-guilt and boy, he was even attacking God. He was attacking everybody. He was floundering around. But he'd been studying for 3 to 5 years and getting nowhere. And the basic reason was that he was still living in the human mind, and evil was very real to him. And he couldn't find God. There was just no way for him to find God because evil was so real that it pushed God out of his consciousness. Even though he used the words God, it was just a shell. Now, I had to write him a letter, and I think it's important at this point. It's very basic. I wouldn't call it a very advanced letter. But if we are to accept God, we must know the tricks that make us deny the presence of God. And I had to phrase this a bit bluntly to this gentleman, so I think the letter would be a good thing for you to hear right now. I think this is all of it, and I'd like you to take it to heart and see if there are some things in here that perhaps you can benefit by. This is the letter. You must prepare the way for spirit to activate your life. It cannot do it without your cooperation. If it could, it would empty all hospitals and get rid of famine, disease, malnutrition, etc. But spirit is powerless to function where the soil has not been prepared. Number one, it can't be done your way. If you knew how to get the sun in the sky and the planets moving through the heavens, and you were the moving force behind all life, then you could do it your way. But living spiritually, if you want to be successful, means crucifixion. If you want to be something, you fail before you start. It means total surrender of self and surrender of every concept that self has. Now, if that doesn't appeal to you, you don't have to do it. But you should know that only surrender prepares the soil for the force to act. There cannot be two minds, God's mind and your mind, or two wills, God's will and your will. If you are not willing to make yourself into a doormat and say, God, here, walk on me, I'm ready to serve, not to dictate, not to ask for anything, not to complain, not to tell you what I want or what I think I should have. If you're not ready to lay down your life and say, God, move my arms, move my mind, move my heart, move me anyway, anywhere, because without you I do not exist. If you can't do this, you might as well forget spiritual living. It only works when God is the force that you turn to. 24 hours a day for everything you think, see, and do. Now that level of humility or meekness prepares the way. And then the infinite splendor can be released. It is all set up so that no one on earth can persuade or influence the supreme intelligence of the universe. You might as well argue with the ocean. God is not listening to man any more than the ocean is. God is not punishing or rewarding man any more than the ocean is. The true spiritual student and believer lives inside God, does not see evil, hear evil, or speak evil, does not believe in the existence of evil, because he knows that where God is, evil cannot be. Understand this. If you accept evil, you also accept the absence of God. Life consists of making a choice 24 hours every day. Is God here? Or is evil here? The choice you make determines the substance of your life experience. The world accepts the existence of evil, and therefore it experiences evil. And because evil cannot exist where God is, when a person or the world accepts the presence of evil, well, you're also accepting the absence of God. And then you suffer for it. But you don't suffer because God is punishing you, but because of your belief that God is absent. You lose the power of God in your life by simply believing God is absent. Now, you want the power of God in your life, and therefore you must accept the presence of God. Without the presence of God, how can you have the power of God? And that is the supreme test, that you will fail every day without realizing it. You accept the existence of evil, and you might just as well stand up and shout, God is not here. Keep accepting the presence of evil, and you keep pushing God out of your life. Now, turn it around. God and evil cannot exist in the same place. They simply cannot. Now, which is there? Evil or God? You see the evil. You do not see God. You do not see the action of God. And so you say, well, the evil is here. You see, you're betrayed by your senses, betrayed by your mind, which makes false horizons. Your mind picks evil every time and denies the presence of God that it cannot see. And so you keep declaring God is not here. And all the while, you're really hoping that God will help you. Now reverse it. Turn ye and live. God is here. On this I place my life. God is here. In the middle of a leper colony, God is here. This is the first law of truth. God is here, here, here. There, there, there. Everywhere, everywhere, everywhere. God is living here now, but God and evil cannot exist in the same place, and God is here. Here, there, there, everywhere. Then where is the evil? You are seeing the illusion of the mind. Because God is, evil is not. And unless that is your knowledge, your understanding, your conviction, and your unwavering awareness, you are one of the millions who are hypnotized into believing God is not here and evil is. Now, if you do not overcome this false belief, you walk in darkness. You do not walk in the light. Every evil, whatever its name, lack, limitation, unhappiness, envy, distrust, crime, corruption, sickness, death, war, atrocities, hate, pain, every evil is a belief that God is not here. Close your eyes and know this. God, because you are here, all evil is impossible. No more can I judge by appearances, for they are all illusion. You are here, and this is my religion, your living presence. Just as clouds do not drive the sun out of the sky, so evil cannot drive you away. And I will know this until the sunshine of your presence comes through the clouds of evil that live only within the human mind. Now that is how you begin to break the hypnosis of the senses. Well, I thought that letter might be useful, and I hope it is. We are now going to have a meditation to review the meditations that we are to do. One of the most important things that you will find that you have not done is to turn yourself over to God. I know you think you have. But I have a reason to believe you have not. You will find that when you go into meditations many times a day, 2, 3, 5, 10, 15, and as Joel, I think, very seriously indicated, 300 or 400 times a day, there's always this moment when you get out of meditation and you say, well, that was a tough one or an easy one or a good one. And then you come right back to the human mind. I don't know one person who doesn't do it. And the minute you do it, you have fallen into the trap that I want to now call to your attention. It doesn't matter if you say God is not here, but if you walk away from God in your thought, you're saying God is not here. Now try this right now and see what I mean. I mean, surrender yourself to God. I don't mean to say God is here. I mean, crucify your human self right now. Learn how to do it. Give yourself to God in such a way that the you, which is moved by the cosmic mind, is powerless to make demands, powerless to say, I need, I desire, I want, I seek. You really turn yourself over to God, and then you make every effort to remain there forever. So that there's never a human you running around wanting, desiring, needing, seeking. The minute you find that you doing it, you know you have not turned yourself over to God. This cannot be overstressed because it's the very core of becoming God conscious. And I would like you, a number of times during the day, this has nothing to do with going to sleep and waking up in the morning, that you have clearly outlined in the tape already as a necessity every night and every morning. But I'd like you during the day, at frequent intervals, because of the great importance of our work at this moment, to learn to give yourself to God. And then to watch how beautifully it carries over into what are called normal human transactions during the day. You can almost feel that as you reach out into any human endeavor, something in you which has turned itself over to God will be standing there supervising. And the more you are able to come to a technique for this, the more you are able to do it with a great depth, the more you will discover that in this particular manner you are really accepting I Christ. It's possible to reach the point where you do not acknowledge yourself in any other way. Where when people speak to you or call you or write you, the one who reads the letter or answers the call or hears what is spoken is first this one you have turned over to God. And it hits a different level of your consciousness this way. And you find the supreme importance of living in God consciousness. Everything is touched by the rainbow. Everything moves into God qualities. Everything touches the conscious awareness that where God is, the perfect mind is now functioning. The perfect power is now functioning. The perfect presence is here and there. And you begin to find these living qualities of God present in your consciousness because you have acknowledged God's presence. And then the blessed moment will come when something in you says, I really know that I am divine flesh. I know it. I know that my human sense of flesh is going. I know I can overcome the human sense of flesh because I really know that divine flesh is my reality now. There's nobody here but divine flesh. There's nobody here but God. There's nobody here but the living Son of God who is one with the Father. All that is here is God and the Father, God the Father and God the Son, and soon, in the knowledge of divine flesh, the Holy Ghost, functioning where the world sees a Jesus, functioning where the world sees a you, where the world sees a Noah, where the world sees a Moses or a Paul. Only the Holy Ghost functioning because it is the Comforter who cometh when I, the appearance man, go away. There are other mistakes we make which should be called to our attention when we know that error cannot exist where God is. We must face the fact that error is a mental dream, and every time the dream appears to us in the form of error, we must recognize instantly that this is my mental dream at the moment, It isn't there. It cannot be there if God is all power and if God is present. And so I will not accept the error which is the mental dream, because I will not deny that God is present. Now, if you do not do this, you'll find you're in the trap of letting error use you. You're letting the world mind use you. And the more you are capable of recognizing error as a mental dream, the more you are preventing the world mind from using you. And it will not use you in many, many other ways once you get the hang of it. And you're becoming clearer and clearer of this mechanical mind which handles all men on this earth. So now, you must learn not to let the world mind use you, not to let error use you. And even now, in these days, when the world is going to once more tell us how Jesus suffered for our sins, and how poor Eve ate the forbidden fruit, and all of the world fell because of dear little Eve, you must know that God is never going to rise. God is never going to return. God is not going anywhere. There is no coming and going in Christ. God is present. And to you, ascension will not mean a physical ascension, because you know that God is not ascending. You will know that the real secret of your true self is divine flesh. And if you accept that there is only one divine self and no other, then rising means coming to the realization of the one divine self. Resurrection means coming back, returning to the knowledge of the one divine self. And everything is measured in the Bible by whether we come to the one divine self realized or we don't. We either depart from one divine self or we go to one divine self. But the one divine self goes nowhere, because it is all. This is your burnt offering, your own self realized, one divine self. No other burnt offering will do. Christ says, "Follow me." But Christ does not go anywhere. Christ withdraws from the make-believe world of the third dimension of consciousness into the fourth and says, "Follow me into the fourth dimension of consciousness." That is the only withdrawal of the Christ. From the atomic dream, Christ withdraws and says to those in the atomic dream, "Follow me, awake. Enter the fourth dimension of consciousness by accepting there is only one divine being, and all that is not divine is illusion now. All that is not divine is illusion now." I'm not going to do this on this tape, but I'd like you to do it in the knowledge of your identity, in the knowledge that there is only divine self, in the knowledge that all that is not divine is illusion. I'd like you, perhaps after you hear this tape today or tomorrow, whenever you feel the inner urge, I'd like you to go to the Lord's Prayer and look at it. as the Christ self, and you will find that you will see the Lord's Prayer in a way that the world has not seen. But be sure when you go to it, first have your meditation that you are divine self, divine flesh, the one invisible Christ man, which was revealed by Noah and Moses and all the rest. And then read the Lord's Prayer after you have surrendered yourself to God. And you will see why it is in the Bible in a new way. We've come to a place now where we should be quite able to stop the world's practice. It is practicing the non-God, it is practicing non-power, it is practicing non-intelligence, it is practicing the non-presence. And we, in our own way, before coming into truth, were practicing non-God too. But now we are turning. We are offering our burnt sacrifice. We are resting in I am the Word. So when those of you who are coming to Catalina appear here, I expect only I, Christ, to appear, the invisible divine flesh. And in a way, you might say we have just had our first class of the seminar as a preparation for the five classes that are to follow. Happy Easter, as the risen Christ. Much love. See you soon.